shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians, called to a higher level of understanding, will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month live Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over WWCR, both transmitters 3 and 4. That's 4.840 megahertz and 5.890 megahertz, and also shortwave station WBCQ at 7.490 megahertz. Both of those stations have links to the internet for a live stream. You can go to our website, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com, and go to our radio page, and you'll see the links there, and there's also a link directly from our website. Tonight, we're going to have a continuation of last month's Kingdom Concepts program. I'd urge our listeners to take this opportunity to call in with their health questions and comments. The phone number is 877-924-7722. That's a toll-free number, 877-924-7722. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE. Our foreign listeners can call 678-949-5091. That's a direct number. Anybody can call it if they like, but foreigners can't necessarily access a toll-free number. So 678-949-5091. Before I introduce my guest tonight, as you know, yesterday was Halloween, a pagan holiday that much of this nation celebrates, and today's called All Saints Day. Well, 10 years ago today, Lorraine Swift, the widow of Dr. Wesley Swift, died. She lived from July 31st, 1920 to November 1st, 2005. She actually carried on Dr. Swift's ministry, Church of Jesus Christ Christian, longer than he did himself. He died in 1970. And she carried it on until she turned it over to this ministry in 2002. And I'd like to remember her tonight. She was a very sweet lady and very dedicated to the cause. So I just wanted to mention that tonight, that she died 10 years ago today. My guest again this month is a chiropractor with over 30 years experience in natural health and nutritional therapy. There's a lot more to cover that we couldn't get to last month. I'd like to welcome back a well-informed doctor, along with a believer in our identity as true Israel, Dr. Scott Freeby.
Hi, Mike. I'm glad to be on the air. There's so much to talk about. For me alone, it took me years to understand what real health is and illness. And of course, with my 10 years of school, we're taught certain things to be gospel. And it turned out it really wasn't. A lot of theories were from the 1700s, 1800s, and it really wasn't true. What I'm trying to say is, like, can you catch a cold? And we're told you catch a cold, and you catch it from someone else. Well, back in the 80s, matter of fact, an article that came out of the American Chiropractic Journal of Chiropractic, it appeared on May 1981, and it said, who said catch a cold? It says, you can't catch a cold from a cold sufferer, no matter how much your contact with him. Conclusive proof of this is supplied by the interesting experiments recently performed by doctors William Carr and John Hagen at the University of California. Again, the University of California. And the article said, who said catch a cold, question mark. And of course, the experiments were summed up as the following. It says the human guinea pigs were left alone for 5 to 8 days to make sure that they were free from a cold. Then the sufferer, the more he sneezed and the more his eyes watered, the more welcome he was. So he had a raging cold. He was ushered in through an airlock, into an airlock room. The cold sufferer played cards with his intended victims, ate with them, drank out of a common glass with them. He sneezed at them, and 24 to 48 hours later, he made his exit. The doctors went to great lengths in their fierce thoroughness. Of course, you know, the cold sufferer was very sick, and everybody drank out of the same glass, things like this. They contaminated a clinical thermometer with the nose drippings of the sufferer, dried it, and took the temperature of the other human guinea pigs with no result. They took nasal secretions, both natural and clarified. They were concentrated in a centrifuge machine, and even these nasal secretions were even dropped into the corner of the eyes of the human guinea pigs who were not sick, who did not have a cold. So they were given the, in a sense, the rhinovirus. But still, these chronic sufferers from colds could not be inoculated. Because what they took was, they took people who supposedly would get a lot of colds during the season, and they tried to make them catch a cold from a cold sufferer. Well, this remarkable experiment was repeated many times with different individuals, and every time the results was the same. Of course, the conclusion arrived at this is that the cause of colds cannot be attributed to the common cold virus, but to an external disturbance of the body, a failure of the body to adjust to variations in the environment, such as changes in temperature and humidity. So again, what they did is they took people who supposedly would catch colds easily, and they made sure when they put them in an airlock room, they made sure for a number of days they had no cold symptoms at all. And then they brought in a person with a very bad cold. The person with a cold would cough on them. They played cards together, drink out of the same glass, use their nasal secretions in an attempt to infect them. And of course, it all failed. But when do we develop a cold? Always a change of season, going from summer to fall, you know, from winter to spring. We have changes in humidity and changes in temperature. And that's kind of what's happening. It's affecting our thyroid, our thymus, the changes in temperature. And you go out and you're not dressed right because one day was hot, the next day was cold. The thing which you want to do is you want to make sure that you have your neck covered. Use like a scarf, you know, things like this. And you're better off not to develop a cold. And of course, if you catch a cold, I mean, I should catch a cold all the time. I'm around sick people. They're coughing on me, things like this. But it really comes down to temperature and humidity. And they do these experiments over and over again, and they could not catch a cold.
I'm assuming that a strong immune system would fight off these symptoms.
Well, see, yeah, so the thing is, you have to be well-nourished, hydrated. And, of course, the immune system is really based on being as healthy as you can by eating correctly, you know, things like this. You know, refined sugar hurts the body. It's a depleter, refined sugar. in corn syrup or whatever. It reduces the ability of the white blood cells to go to the area and clean up the problem, because refined sugar is just, it just denatures everything. It's like a few days ago, I had not been eating correctly, and I've been eating too many sweets, which is I should not do, but it happens to all of us. And so I went to bed one night. I had a little bit of a sore throat. I took my calcium lactate about 11 o'clock at night, and I was and then about 3 in the morning, I got up again. I took some more calcium, and by the morning, I was fine. My throat was fine. The little lymph nodes under my jaw were a tiny bit swollen, but by morning, they were fine. So I knew what to do. But it's about being well-nourished, eating correctly, and things like that. So catching a cold, the scientists at the university will did these tests, and if you do catch something, then you should catch it, but they could not. So that's kind of like, are you kidding me? But that's the truth.
It kind of brings up another subject. I had an appointment at the VA hospital in Little Rock this past week, and on the side of the main building, they had a great big old banner telling the vets that they could get free flu vaccinations. And, of course, they had literature inside, and I've heard recently Walmart promoting flu vaccines and et cetera, et cetera. This vaccination is really being pushed on us as a cure-all for flu and everything else. Would you like to comment on vaccinations?
Oh, sure. Yeah, vaccinations, that's a whole other topic. But it's been a year putting together a seminar for doctors. It's 12 hours, and it's about germs and viruses and vaccines. Because you really have to talk about all of these three things together to really understand what's going on. And you have to go back all the way to Dr. Jenner back in the late 1700s. He was a medical doctor. He followed Dr. Hunter around. And after paying equivalent of $75, he was told he was a physician. He was in England. And what I'm trying to explain is, how did this vaccine theory start? And actually, it was even before Dr. Jenner. But he had a hypothesis in that he thought that smallpox, germ, let's call it that, came from an infected hoof of a horse. It was called the grease. And that a horseman, a farrier, would get the contagion from the hoof of the horse, the grease, on his hand, milk a cow, and a cow would then have a pox or a sore on one of the teeth. We call it cow pox. And that pus that was gone from the hoof of the horse to the teat of the cow transferred, and the pus from the teat would be the real contagion of smallpox. And so if his premise was that if you had the cow pox, which is like one sore, you were immune to smallpox. And it was not true at all. But in fact, his other medical peers at that time thought Jenner was a bore because they knew of patients who had a cowpox from the, from the tit of the cow, some pus, and they developed a sore. And they knew that they would also later develop smallpox and even die. So the cowpox was not an immunity for smallpox. Like saying, having polio makes you immune to syphilis. I mean, it's crazy. It's like two different problems. So what it is that the whole vaccine issue comes down to a myth of dairy maid. That a dairy maid would maybe have a small sore in the hand, a pox mark, and from there they were immune to smallpox, which was not true at all. Not true at all. So in 1796, Jenner wrote a paper about cowpox and tried to link it to smallpox. Smallpox of the cow, cowpox from the cow's tit, it would make you immune to smallpox, which again, not true. And his whole theory was you get it from the hoof of the horse, the pus transferred to the teat of the cow, and if you get sore, you're immune to smallpox. It's just not true. And so he wrote his paper in 1796. He submitted his paper to the Royal Society of London, which Jenner was a member of. And he was a member of it because he wrote a paper, and I'm not kidding you, he wrote a paper on the cuckoo bird, which is apropos, because it's always crazy. And so they rejected the paper, saying it was not scientific. There wasn't really anything concrete, and he would ruin his reputation. Then he resubmitted the paper in 1798, and I have his work, and I have the drawing. And the biggest change with the paper was that he had a few more cases, and he called, instead of using cowpox, he called it smallpox of the cow, and it would make you immune, which was not true. So you jump ahead to the turn of the 20th century to Dr. Campbell. He was an MD out of San Antonio, Texas, and he was in charge of the smallpox patients, the pest houses. The people with smallpox would come to him, he would isolate them, and he did experiments in a sense that all his staff were not vaccinated. Were not vaccinated for smallpox. And they were with the people, the patients, and he had one smallpox patient that was in one of the beds, and he transferred that patient to another bed. A lot of the pox came up on the bed, and he had one of his staff sleep in the bed. He had one child that would play with a smallpox baby. He did all kind of experiments trying to have the staff and other people contact, transfer the disease of smallpox. And he noticed that these patients would come in and they had bed bugs, all right? Bed bugs in their clothes, or they had bed bugs in at where they lived. And so what he did is he had a disinfectant tent. So he made sure he killed all the bed bugs. And what was later found out, that this bed bug, Simex lecellularius, was the cause of smallpox. And it was always known that smallpox, they used to say in the older books I have from the 1800s, written by medical doctors. One was Cruikshank, one was another doctor, Crichton, who's my favorite, all MDs, they would say that the smallpox was among the dirtier class of people, the poor. It would usually take place in the fall when the citrus crop would fail. The people weren't getting enough citrus, enough vitamin C, enough green leafy vegetables. And, of course, they had the bed bugs, and they would develop the pox. And Dr. Campbell in San Antonio, Texas, when he gave them citrus, vitamin C products, and minerals, green leafy vegetables with vitamin A, they cleared right out, no problem. It was very simple to treat. They were looking at him as getting a Nobel Prize, but you really can't do that. Because the whole world thought that Jenner had the solution, and Jenner would use the pus, from the cow's tit, and what would happen was they would use pus from anything and scratch it into the arms of people thinking they're vaccinating them. And it just did not work. But it's interesting how a method Gary made could propel an industry. It's just unbelievable that you put some pus into someone's arm and all of a sudden they're immune.
But it's my understanding that not only does it not work, but there's a lot of elements in modern day vaccinations that are very harmful to the person receiving the vaccination.
Well, it was very harmful from the beginning. There was a tremendous outcry from the people in England. If you did not get your children vaccinated, you would be arrested and thrown in prison. People were babies were dying. People were dying. I have pictures of children, dead. One arm eaten away. I mean, just horrible pictures of what was going on. Let's say go to polio. Like polio, when the vaccine came out, well, they tried to have the vaccine come out in the 30s. But it was really deadly. And, so they did it back, in the 50s. And what happened was very interesting, is that when they came out with the vaccine, they changed how you would diagnose polio. What do I mean? Cases of polio before the vaccine would not necessarily be cases after the vaccine. It made it harder to diagnose. You had to have more signs and symptoms, more paralysis, things like this. So in a sense, they're fudging the statistics after the vaccine came out. And what happened was there was even more polio with the vaccine. And in 1957, the World Health Organization changed the name of polio to aseptic meningitis. So you could just wipe out a disease by changing its name. And you look at the medical books, at that period of time when they changed the name, the polio statistics flip-flopped with the aseptic meningitis. And that's what happened. Also with the polio is that, at that time, DDT came out. And of course that's a neurological poison, which is a pesticide, banned in this country. And of course, they still sell it in third world countries. A lot of things came together with polio. And polio went down in Europe, and there was no vaccine. And Dr. Sandler. He was an MD out of Asheville, North Carolina. And he put a dive in the newspaper because there was a polio epidemic. And you can't catch polio. It's a polio epidemic. And he put a dive in the paper, and within 72 hours, the epidemic was over. And he was getting the people off of ship, because polio would usually be in the summer months where you're consuming a lot of sugary drinks, soda pop, ice cream, things like this, which would deplete your calcium and potassium and things like this, and you could go into a paralytic state. Another example is Sabin. Sabin was studying the polio problem and saw that our soldiers, let's say stationed in China, some would develop polio, but the people in the village around them, the Chinese, would not develop it. Well, what was the difference? Well, the servicemen were getting the refined processed sugars, food from America, and having a problem. It was just quite interesting. I remember a famous chiropractor, Dr. Pete Fernandez. He's out of Florida. And he had polio when he was a young boy. And his mother, I listened to a talk by him, and he said that his mother brought him to Miami thinking that the sun would do him good. So he's saying, here I am in an iron lung, in a hospital. And And while he was there, his mother met an old high school person she knew going through high school, this woman, who became a chiropractor. And so they would go to the hospital, and when no one's looking, she would adjust Pete. And, of course, all was sticking out was his neck and head out of the iron lung, and she would adjust him, and he recovered. And he later became a chiropractor. And this guy's like a 6'4", you know, strapping, healthy person when I met him. And that's why he became a chiropractor. So the chiropractic, I remember talking to Dr. Murray, who taught me clinical nutrition. He was, you know, I met him when he was probably in his 50s. That was 35 years ago. And he talked about polio and talked about adjusting the sacrum, posterior to anterior, but also about giving, you know, calcium and things like this, and you would get quite a turnaround from that. And but again, a seminar I have is 12 hours, brutal to give. It's all documented, and it's looking at research, you know, going back to the 1800s, what doctors who knew it was a fraud. And of course, talking about this makes me a quack. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is the way it is. It still goes on. And I think when the child enters kindergarten, they've had like 38 different injections. And now autism is like, I heard the other day, autism is like 1 out of 80 kids. I remember 10 years ago, it was like 1 out of 300. And there's just so many reasons for that. Vaccines, when you're born, the myelin sheath hasn't developed yet, you know, in the body, in the brain. It's mostly developed at the time you're 15, 16 years old. It's pretty much all finished once you're in your 40s. And the vaccines interfere with that development. I remember seeing a nurse, and she brought her 12-year-old son to me. And she said, you know, Dr. Preeb, when he was about almost 2 years old, he was just about reading. And we got the DPT shot, and now he's autistic and has spoken sense. And I remember him being at the clinic, and he was just obsessed with the vacuum cleaner. And he was quite a big boy. But I, you know, did the workup and looked about giving the brain what it needed to repair. And he got better and started speaking within a few weeks. And, but again, when you talk about things like autism, you also have to look at, you know, what you're feeding the child, you know, correctly. Also, what's interesting with autism is that, back in, what was it? Back like in the late 80s, early 90s, I would get, Acres USA. It's a monthly, journal on organic farming throughout the world. And you go online to Acres USA, to their website, and you can get a free journal for a month to look at it and subscribe to it. It's not expensive. I think it's like $28 for the year. You get 12 different, each month you get a magazine. And they trace like an organic farming. They're tracing Monsanto, what they're doing, and everything else that goes on. And but I remember back 25 years ago, going through one of the monthly publications, and they talked, and one university talked about picking up pesticides that were in the amniotic fluid of pregnant females. And just a few months ago, they were talking about these pesticides interfering with the brain into making connections with the nerves in the brain. It's just horrendous. And, you know, there's so much research that comes out, it's just hard to keep track of it all. You can. It's impossible. There's so much coming out now. But when we start using herbicides, pesticides, fungicides, That's the problem. They're poisons. And it affects us in ways that we can't comprehend. Average person can't comprehend.
Well, the argument that the establishment makes quite often is, well, people are living longer today. And I guess that was true for a long time, although I believe it's turned back the other way. But it's my understanding that the main reason that they're living longer is sanitation that wasn't always practiced in the past.
Well, that's it. There's one book. I wish I could find it offhand real quick, but there's a book that was published back in the 80s. And it was recommended reading by, you know, different medical journals throughout the world. I mean, very prestigious medical journals. And what it was is the author was talking about that the decline of infectious diseases was not because of antibiotics and vaccines. Because what happened was these so-called, you know, infectious diseases decline before the wide use of antibiotics and vaccination. And why was that? Better sanitation, you know, in the home, in the cities, and we got the sewage being taken care of, things like this, cleaner water, we're getting more fruits and vegetables, things like this. And, you know, it's a better sanitation and better food. What cleaned up smallpox? What part of the vacuum cleanup and better sanitation? I know with Campbell, the famous doctor from again Austin, Texas, has his book right here.
Pardon me a second. We do have a caller from Illinois. Emily, you're on the air.
Hey, I was just wondering, with these injections and these herbicides and everything they're poisonous with, you think this is kind of like maybe part of like Agenda 21 or something like that?
Like what again?
Well, with all the pesticides and the injections and everything, do you think that's kind of like part of Agenda 21 that they're putting upon the people?
I'm not familiar with Agenda 21, but of course they say, I think Mike knows this too, the protocols of the Elders of Zion, things like this. They talk about the vaccinations, things. But it's about money. I mean, you come down to it too, you know, we can talk about conspiracies, things like that, but it's money. You know, it's money.
Right.
It's like the holy waters. Like Dr. Mendelsohn, a famous pediatrician, he taught pediatrics at the Chicago School of Medicine. And he said it didn't take long, because he was a pediatrician. He took care of kids. He said it wasn't long before I knew the vaccines didn't work. You know, I myself, I had all the vaccinations. I still had mumps. I still had whooping cough. You know, things like that. It didn't, you know, it's, but what's happening though, we're looking at health and illness incorrectly. Really are. So here we are. We have the farmers taught that they need chemical fertilizers, and of course the chemical fertilizers destroy the soil. And so the weeds are going to go crazy, and then the bugs are going to come and eat the crop that isn't just the human consumption. But we can use, you know, pesticides on them, which will kill us too. And we can use herbicides for the weeds and fungicides for the fungus. It's about a healthy soil. For a healthy soil, we have healthy food and healthy animals. And what we're doing and have done for many decades is it's just a sin, what we're doing to the earth, to our food production. It's just so bad. And then we're injecting poisons in our blood. We call them vaccines. Why is there so many cancer in kids? Kids shouldn't have cancer.
They never were when I was a kid.
Well, that's it. The pictures I have you know, from way back, it's just horrendous. You know, kids just dying. It's one woman, she, her child was vaccinated and developed syphilis. And the doctors checked her over and over and over again that she must have syphilis. Well, she did not have syphilis. When you look back at Jenner's work, is that the grease of the horse was closely to more like smallpox. I mean, sorry, syphilis. And that Jenner, he vaccinated, James Phipps. He was 8 years old, and he took the grease from the effective of the horse, and he scratched it into the child's arm, and he died within a few days. He said he felt the fever, which means he died. Jenner tried to cover that up. And what's interesting is I have the picture of his arm, and I have, you know, they drew it. And the sore. And then you have to go to the French physician, Ricord, in France, who is a leading authority of syphilis. And what I have from Ricord, the doctor, is that they took a sore, they put on the person's arm syphilis, and they drew over a period of like 2 weeks. How the sore changed. And I think it was like figure eight was identical to the boy. And, it's just horrendous. And he in Ricord writes, he says, why would we risk getting vaccinal syphilis to not have smallpox? And smallpox is interesting. Sydenham, very famous English physician. He says smallpox is very simple to treat as long as it's not interfered by nurses and doctors. And of course, Dr. Campbell knew that because all he had to do was get citrus and vitamin A, green leafy vegetables, and the pox just fell off and there was no scarring. And he had one patient where he did not give the patient C and you know, the food he needed, and he had some scarring afterward. And this is all in the literature, if you can find it. I mean, the books I have, you know, I had the rare book search.
Yeah, I believe I ran into Eustace Mullins, where he basically said that the whole industry was all basically Jew ran, and they're pretty much the ones behind it.
Well, it's, you know, because Eustace Mullins, that's the book, Murder by Injection, the AMA Monopoly of Healthcare in America. And the one about Dr. Campbell, it's Charles Campbell, MD, and his book was called The Bats, like Bats That Fly Around, Bats, Mosquitoes, and Dollars, from 1925. And it was reproduced by the Lee Foundation. Dr. Earl Lee was a very famous doctor. He founded Stan Princess Laboratories, the best food supplements you can get in America. And in fact, Dr. Lee taught Dr. Murray, and Dr. Murray taught me, and I'm third generation. And his book, again, says Campbell would also study bats and how their manure would be great for fertilizer. He studied the problem of mosquitoes and how dollars became influenced in everything, you know, the research. But Campbell was the one that proved that smallpox was caused by a bite of a bedbug. But there was a Russian who also discovered that earlier, but no one can remember his name, you know what I'm saying? Because Russian
right.
Can be so difficult. Now, I have here from his book on page 206, he says French Canadians were much affected with smallpox, that most of their houses were overrun with bedbugs. Also that the Canadian Indian were great sufferers from the dreaded disease. Now again, Europe and Canada there aren't citrus trees up there. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
So the Canadian Indians were great sufferers from this dreaded disease, which has often been picked up by going into their abandoned teepees or huts. This is so well known in the Canadian wild that such old places as teepees or huts were avoided with dread and passed with a shudder. The old discarded clothing was long been recognized as a carrier of the contagion. We remember when the Spanish went to the Inca Indians and they gave them blankets. Well, the blankets had the bed bugs. And the Indians got smallpox and killed a lot of them. And of course the Indians have to be deficient in the nutrition so they would get, they'd be susceptible to the bite. I can get bitten by the bed bug, sinus lecularis, and it won't bother me because I'm nutritionally sound. See? But it gets down to how important nutrition is and healthy living. You know, eating correctly, you know, staying away from everything we eat, drink, and breathe that's poisons in it. And of course, mentally being healthy and emotionally stable is very important. And it's hard when you're not eating correctly because the brain needs certain nutrition to be healthy also. We tend to lose sight of that.
Well, I have one more question, then I'll hang up and I'll just listen. Is it true that that if you have an alkaline body, you know, if you use a lot of things like apple cider vinegar and things like that, does that prevent cancer? And I'll just hang up and I'll let you talk. And Pastor Mike, keep up the good work. And y'all leave that list.
Thank you for your call. We appreciate you.
That's an interesting question because people think we should be alkaline. The research I've been seeing, even Dr. Lee would say that would be a problem. But the thing is, the body, you go through acidic and alkaline at different stages in digestion, and the body has all the buffers to take care of it. Do you eat meat? Do you not eat meat? Do you be vegetarian? Now, look at vegetarianism is more of a religion. If I want to conquer a country, I want people to be vegetarians. They pretty much, after being a vegetarian for a while, you become, you may become more fatigued, exhausted, and you may mentally not think very well. There's one website out there, it's called Beyond Veg, a vegetarian Beyond Veg. Vegetarians who got sick on the diet, and they came out and made a website to educate people. Now, do we eat meat? Yes, but we want grass-fed. We want animals raised correctly. We want chickens who run around and not fed steroids and antibiotics and other things like that. And we want crops grown correctly. Potatoes are a heavily sprayed crop, and you definitely want to get organic potato. Peanuts, again, very heavily sprayed crop. It's so simple to be healthy, but it's so hard because of what's happening. And being healthy, too, it's about preparing food yourself. The corporations, they prepare food very differently. They use a lot of sugar and salt and fats, trans fat. And it kind of pushes our butt in our brains, very addicting. But every day we should have a lot of vegetables. We should have, we need protein every meal. Two eggs is like 3 ounces of protein. So you need protein every meal.
I know that an owner of a large health food store in Fort Smith once told me that the Seventh Day Adventists were all sickly, so they would come down and take, I believe it was liver supplement pills in order to get some of the nutrients that they were lacking because they didn't have any meat in their diet.
Seventh-day Adventists, that's interesting. They would not want to eat meat. So they would eat like Spam-O, Tuna-O, kind of like tuna, but it's not. And, it's religion. I mean, it's crazy. It's, of course, I love liver, especially calf's liver. so the calf's raised correctly. Of course, you don't want to overcook it. You want to kind of want to like pink in the center. And if you overdo it in the frying pan with some butter, it's like shoe leather. But of course, organ meat is pretty much the most nutritious part of the animal. The skeletal meat is the least nutritious. You know, when a lion kills a gazelle, I mean, they're after the liver, the heart, you know, things like that. The buzzards pretty much get what's left, you know, the muscle. Now, our people would do that. We would have, you know, the brains, we'd have the liver, the kidneys. Like the Eskimos up north or the Canadian Indians. The reason they didn't get scurvy is because when they killed like an elk, they would take the adrenal gland, the raw adrenal gland, and cut it up among themselves and eat it. Because the adrenals are very rich in vitamin C, specifically tyrosinase, which is a trace mineral activator of the C complex. And as I talked last time, that ascorbic acid is not, if you buy ascorbic acid, like 1,000 milligrams in a tablet, that's not vitamin C. That's like the banana peel to the banana. And you can take corn syrup and sulfuric acid, and you make ascorbic acid. The person who coined the word ascorbic acid back in like 1934, Gorby, you know, he isolated one factor of the C complex. That's all he could do back then. And he named it ascorbic acid. He said it won't cure scurvy. It won't help these problems. Something's missing. He was right. You're missing, like I said last time, the J factors, P factors, K factors, tyrosinase, bioflavonoids, rutin. That's what you're missing. So you have to get it from food. I get it, you know, from Standard Process Laboratories as Cataplex C. Another place you can get it, like in the health food stores, it would be either, you have to get it through, Sony or Green Life. If they're out of Kansas City, I would get it as Spring Green for doctors. But in the health food stores, it's under Green Life or Sony. And what's in it? It's Arcilla berry, wild Spanish orange, a little bit of honey, and blackstrap molasses. And one tablet, about the size of a quart of a nickel, would be 100 milligrams. And you say, well, gee, you know, no, we need 1,000. Oh, 1,000 is just ascorbic acid. It's an acid. You know, 100 milligrams is like 160% of the daily requirement. But that has all the factors of the C complex. That will work. And you know, the books all say that ascorbic acid is vitamin C. And why not? You know, the early 20th century, you know, the 30s and 20s, 30s and 40s, they pretty much knew what a vitamin was back then. I have the books of the greats that ever lived. And even Dr. Royal Lee, genius. And they knew what a vitamin was and was not. But what happened? Chemistry started to be taught. And so let's make, this ascorbic acid, the formula with corn syrup and sulfuric acid. But it doesn't work. So money and politics got involved. That's even with vaccinations. I had to go way back to the very beginning. And even then, Jenner was not the beginning of vaccination. You go further back in time, and the heathen would, let's say for smallpox, they would take the pox that would fall off the person with smallpox, they'd put it in a walnut shell, and they would crush it up, and they would scratch it into your arm or put it up your nose. Because what were they doing? They were appeasing the god of that illness. So it comes out of superstition. Montague, her name was. We talked about this in a long time. But she was the ambassador's wife, from England, stationed in Turkey. And she saw all these old women do this, take the smallpox that would come off, and they would scratch it into themselves or put up your nose. So when she came, and so she had her son, they had her son have him do this, and he became such a recluse, mentally not well and all this, like we're seeing today. But she came back to England, and she was a very forceful woman, and she told everyone and the physicians what she saw in Turkey, and she insisted they do this. And so they got three prisoners that were in London who were sentenced to death. And if they would allow them to do this to them, they would not be killed. And if I remember right, they'd be set free. And they put one, the pox up the guy's nose, the scabs, and he had great pains in the head. But what we're seeing is that they're getting encephalitis, inflammation of the brain. And what's the baby going to tell you? Just going to be screaming. I remember one vaccine brochure from the company that makes the vaccines also mentioned the side effects of the vaccine as sudden infant death syndrome. So they even admitted to it, that it could kill your child. And it's just crazy.
Well, as I believe our caller alluded to, there's a purposeful plan to destroy our people. I know they say that they want the world's population a lot less, and of course it's a conspiracy to dumb down our people in all areas, where Christ said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Incidentally, you mentioned the protocols. We do publish the protocols. It's $6 if anybody wants it, and it shows a lot of different areas that the children of Satan are attacking our people. We have time probably for another call. We don't have a lot of time left, but if anybody would like to call, it's 877-924-7722, 877-YAHS-RACE. You can remember that in that way, 877-924-7722, a toll-free number. Dr. Preeb, would you like to give your email address again this time?
Yeah, Dr. Scott Preeb at yahoo.com. And that is Dr. Dr. Scott, S-C-O-T-T, Preeb, P as in Peter, R as in Rabbit, I, E as in Easter, B as in Boy, E as in Easter. So P-R-I-E-B-E at yahoo.com.
You're a chiropractor. Would you like to mention a little bit about the benefits of chiropractic treatment?
Yeah, chiropractic has really been around for centuries. Of course, it's been known since the late 1800s as chiropractic by D.D. Palmer. But it's like the nervous system controls everything. And understand this, that pain that you get, like a back pain, is only 10% of that nerve. The other 90% controls everything else, from your heart beating to the organs working to everything. And so it's such a simple type of, just so simple to get the nervous system to work correctly. So if I got someone with ulcerative colitis, you know, you want to make sure that the nerves going to the intestinal tract are not impeded. And simple as that. You think of ulcerative colitis, you got to think again of pesticides, of Roundup, pesticides from Monsanto, which causes all kinds of problems with the intestinal tract and spruce, the illness there. And they spray Roundup on wheat before they harvest it, so the wheat berries fall off easily. And of course, we have a lot of the problems with wheat, because a lot of them are genetically engineered. We're being so slaughtered. But, you know, it's turning. Everything is turning. People are learning. You know, the internet, Google, YouTube. You know, I don't know about genetic engineered food. Go to YouTube and search this. There's so many documentaries on GMOs. But one is called Seeds of Death, Unveiling the Lies of GMOs. again, that seeds of death unveiling the lies of GMOs. I have like 30 different documentaries on GMOs. This is one of the best. It takes about an hour to watch. And you can see the mice with tumors on their mammaries or their breasts and their kidneys. And if it was, if those tumors were on us, the size of a bowling ball. It's so crazy.
We're about out of time. Would you like to make a couple concluding remarks before I start the outgo?
Yeah, for vaccinations, just go to YouTube. Or go to Dr. McCullough. He's an MD out of Chicago, and he has a lot of information from other medical doctors on the problems with vaccines. One is from a doctor. She saw that people getting the flu shots at the hospital. The staff working there was going to end up with kidney failure. I mean, it's all out there. And of course, they ignored her at the hospital because she's just, you know, we don't want to hear this. We do vaccinations, that's it, to shut up. But there's so much out there.
Yeah, there's so much to learn, but we're out of time, and I'd like to thank you for being our guest again this month, and we'll have to have you back again in the future. Thank you.
I can't believe how the time flies when you're having fun. Okay, thank you very much.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com, type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.